All right, everybody, Terrence Pop here with another episode of Live from the Lair. All right, so if you guys are supporters, the other day I did a supporter stream where I told a bunch of ghost stories. And I had one of the supporters basically say, hey, and this is, he suggested that I retell these ghost stories and re-release them to the general public because, you know, people love ghost stories. Now, if you've been in the military and you travel around, you'll spend a lot of time in army posts that are old, World War II barracks, sometimes World War I barracks that have been reconditioned. And people die left and right in the service all the fucking time. A lot of guys, especially if it's a war, a lot of guys get drafted, they show up, they think it's going to be a great adventure, and a few months later, they're getting planted in the dirt. Now, now that I'm retired and I'm on the, on the other side of the fence looking in, I miss the shit out of it. So there's a lot of nostalgia there. And I could understand how some people, when they, you know, they pass away and they go back to a time in their life when it was the happiest for them. It's going to sound weird, but some of the happiest moments in my life, you know, happened when I was in the military. Like when you're hanging on the edge of fucking death, you're truly alive. And that is a feeling that I can't explain to you. I can't convey it to you. I can only tell you it exists. And I think it is that feeling that holds these individuals to areas after they pass away. All right. Now, I'm a firm believer in reincarnation, ghosts, all that crazy stuff. Because there's a lot of things out there that I've seen and experienced that I can't fucking explain. You know, and it's fucking weird. And I'm going to tell you about some of it right now.
In Joe Biden's America, it's never been more dangerous to bet your livelihood on the man, because he works for Murphy, who works for Whitey, who works for the man, and the man always saves a 10% kickback for the big guy. What if I told you that you could hang up your suit and tie for good and become the master of your own destiny in this cesspool of cronyism full of drowning sheeple? Would you have the balls to do it?
Ooh, yeah.
Dive into the world of corporate land and find your spine. Go to frankservi.com today and get yourself a copy. A link is in the meat gazer box.
Now, the first one is basically, I'm going to tell you about the reserve center I worked at in Southfield, Michigan. Now, fortunately for me, after, you know, I was getting divorced, I was homeless, and I was royally fucked. Okay. And I had a few buddies of mine pull some strings, let me know that they're going to be standing up a new civil affairs unit in Southfield, Michigan. It was the 414 Civil Affairs, and it was coming out of, you guessed it, Utica, New York. Okay, so they pull some strings. I get put on long tour orders. And while I'm on these long tour orders, I get sent to Intel Analyst School, and I pick up the job as the Battalion S2. Now, the Battalion S2 job, you handle a lot of ComSec, you deal with sensitive items, you know, anything that's classified. It's my job to make sure it gets secured properly and destroyed properly. I issued courier cards, but my primary function was to get security clearances for soldiers in the unit. And I was particularly good at it because, you know, I'm old school, and if something's not working on the computer screen, I like to have a phone number and a name of somebody I can call and talk to them about it. And I had like half a dozen names and numbers of individuals who vetted, you know, these, you know, clearance packets that got sent up. But that's, you know, fairly labor intensive, especially we're standing up a new unit and I'm literally have to get like, you know, 30, you know, clearances in a month done, sometimes more. That's a lot of clearances. So I was there late. And on this particular night, my commander, he had just left. And he was a first lieutenant at the time. Going to get promoted to captain shortly. He leaves, and I'm finishing up. And I'm maybe a half an hour after him. So I'm, you know, I get up and I'm going to stay a little bit more. And I'm stretching out my legs because I always made it a habit to get up at least once an hour or every night, minimum, at a minimum 90 minutes. But usually every hour I get up and walk around for 10 minutes because it's not healthy for you to sit down all day fucking long. It's just not going to work out. So I'm walking about. And I go down to the gut rot machine to get a Coke and a candy bar. And I am, you know, at the machine. And it's really weird. I hear like this rustling sound. And then I hear a desk move. Okay. I'm like, oh, somebody's in the fucking building. This is like 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. And I'm like, what the fuck? You know, it wouldn't be the first time we've had soldiers sneak in and try to sleep there and stuff like that. Now, if that's the case, they just tell me what's going on. I'm cool with it. But if they try to sneak in, I'm going to fuck with you. So that's what I think it is. I think somebody's, you know, trying to get over. So there's three classrooms. I go to the first one, nothing. Second one, nothing. It's clean. Everything's dressed right, dress. The classroom number one, it looked okay. I turn the light off. I go back to the gut rot machine. All right. So I'm there getting I already got the Coke from the drill hall. And then right next to that was a candy machine. And I got a Hershey's with almonds. It's one of my favorite candy bars. And I'm walking back. Now I hear the desk move again. All right. So again, I go down to classroom number three. Dress right, dress. Nothing wrong. Classroom number two. Dress right, dress, nothing moved. Classroom number three. And there's a wooden desk at the front of the classroom. And it had been moved about a foot and a half diagonally. Like, I had just been in that room minutes before this. I know exactly what I saw. And that room, when I saw it the first time, was dress right, dress. Because there are markings of tape on the floor where the desk is and where you line everything up because that's how fucking stupid some commanders are. It's not my thing. I'm just telling you. And the desk was moved. And it kind of wigged me out a little bit. I'm like, what the fuck? So, you know, the hair on the back of my neck stand up. And I go back upstairs. I shut down my computer, sign out. I'm leaving. And I leave for the night. And I come back the next day and you know, during the day, just another fucking reserve center. And then I started realizing that, you know, the only really people who are in this reserve center are soldiers. The worst thing a soldier is going to do to you is fuck with you. We do it all the time. You get bored, we're like, hey, who are you going to fuck with, man? And then we always fuck with somebody. That's just the way it is. We're mean. Yeah. Get tough. Cry me a river, I don't care. So I'm like, all right, those guys were fucking with me. So every time I would stay late, I would always like yell down the hallway when I went down there, like, all right, Sergeant Pop here. Don't fuck with me. I don't need this shit. And there were times, you know, at night you'd hear murmuring. You know, it's like you hear people having a conversation, but at a distance, and you can't hear the words exactly what's being said, but you know it's human speech. And you know somebody's fucking talking, but there's nobody there. All right, now a lot of you guys are like, ah, you're full of shit. You know, fuck. I mean, look, the reserve center wasn't that big. I knew, you know, all the hiding places. I knew what doors were locked or unlocked. You know, I knew who had the keys, you know. There was nobody in that fucking building. None. So, you know, that was, and I had similar instances at the Reserve Center in Utica, New York. So, I mean, it is what it is. Next one. And this one has a little of a deja vu thing to it. All right. Now, this happened at Port Townsend in Washington State. And I went up there with this one girl and we're hanging out, you know, doing her thing. You know what that thing is, you know, it is what it is. I was young and stupid. She was hot as hell. We decide we're going to go do a tour, you know, of the fort. And we started like right around 6 PM. It was in the evening then, because I think it was October, end of September. As soon as I walked on there, I'd been there before. I had like 11, 12 instances of like this incredibly vivid deja vu. And, you know, like I literally in my mind, I could see the cannon shooting, you know, it was weird. It was just weird. And, you know, we're with the tour group and we're doing the deal and we decide, you know, we're going to go fool around and we slink off. It was one of the powder magazines that was opened, and there was another hallway that ran where they used to have cannons, you know, there. It's all concrete, so you could hear people walking around, you know, and it's fairly dark. I was the only one that heard this. She heard it too. You could hear the sounds of boots. And the boots had taps on them. Now, most people don't know this, like tap shoes. That's pretty much a modern thing. But back in the day when boots were expensive and you had to make them last, people put metal plates on the soles of the boots so that the soles would last longer. And quite literally, within, 10 paces of where I was, we heard probably a couple of dozen footsteps, you know, walk right by us, and then they stopped, you know, down the way. And it's not that dark. So it's not like somebody was doing it and I didn't fucking see them. That one really freaked me out. And after, she was like, let's get the fuck out of here. Nah. And, you know, we went back to the tour group, finished it, left, did our deal. But that one was really crazy. And this next one, happened at Fort Custer, Michigan. Now, for those of you that don't know, Fort Custer was named after General Custer, the guy who got him and his entire unit killed. Yeah, that guy. But it used to be a huge cavalry post. All right? Huge. And it got, I think it got federalized and really expanded in like 1917. And back in the day, you know, all of those horses required a lot of oats and grain to feed them. And after World War I, when the horse cavalry was basically done away with, Kellogg stayed behind and, you know, basically instead of making stuff to feed horses, they made cereal for humans using the same grain and oats. Well, that's a side note. Now, in the past, you know, I've had some of my soldiers tell me some pretty creepy stories. And one of the ones that I've heard a couple of times was, you know, soldiers doing land nav at night or moving on some of the roads. They would hear a horse. And there's no fucking no. You know, the Custer recreational area didn't exist back then. It was Fort Custer. And, they heard horses. All right. And I was like, yeah, you know, somebody's probably sneaking a ride somewhere, you know, whatever. And then like, yeah, we heard the horses, but there's no footprints, no hoof prints. Yeah, whatever. Went in one ear, went out the other. I mean, I was in my mid-20s, indestructible. Okay. Well, years later, I am running a nightland navigation course at Fort Custer. And, you know, the day land nav, no problem. Everything was good. Now we're going to run night land nav, and they only have to find 3 fucking points. We start at like 8 o'clock, and index is supposed to be 11, but, you know, it is what it is. Now, these points aren't far apart, but I'm telling you, night land nav is just something a lot of soldiers can't do. It just is what it is. So I have a couple soldiers who don't make the rendezvous time, and I'm like, okay. So I walk out onto the main dirt road, and I'm looking down, and I'm seeing if anyone, you know, came out. And now it's dark now, so I can't really see that far. I start walking, you know, down the way a bit, because normally when it gets dark, if somebody's in the woods, you can hear them. I mean, they're fucking loud as fuck. Breaking brush and tripping and falling and dropping shit. And I went maybe, I don't know, 50, 100 meters. And I heard horses. And they were close. And there's no fucking way I did not see. If it was an actual fucking horse, there's no way I would have not have seen it. I'm not really up on horses, but it was more than one. I would say it was somewhere between 5 and 7 horses just go by me. And then it was just dead quiet. Yeah, that one fucked with me hard. Hard. Now, on Fort Custer, you know, you have the Fort Custer National Cemetery. Now, there's, I don't think... that the little cemetery that used to be on Fort Custer, they turned it into a national cemetery. I think that it's still there on Custer. It's very small. And, you know, and it's near the land nav course. And there are graves there that go back quite a ways. You know, so who knows what's going on in that craziness. Yeah, and here's another one. And this was told to me by a guy who was a security guard back in the day. All right, now, there used to be a huge O Club on the old Fort Custer proper. And, I mean, it had a big dance floor and the whole deal. And, you know, I'd spent some time in that thing on and off. In, you know, in the few years before they tore it down and turned it into the recreational area. So I knew what he was talking about. Now, he would see lights come on and he would get complaints, you know, or calls from people who said they were, you know, near there and they were hearing sounds and whatever. And he would go in there and it was usually nothing. But, you know, on this particular day, you know, he went into the building. And they had started, for a better word, you know, tearing down the smaller buildings around it. And they were working their way in and they were going to tear that one down. And he's walking through the building. He's got his flashlight. And again, you know, he heard, you know, on the main wooden floor, the way he explained it to me, he heard at least a dozen people walking around. And he was like, okay, you know, he basically had reached bullshit saturation and he said, fuck it, I'm leaving. So he walks down the stairs, walks across the floor to the main door. And as he's shutting behind him, he hears the faint sound of music. So he says, well, have fun with your dance, shuts the door, locks it, never went in there again until they tore it down. It's gone now, which is a shame. But yeah, I think that post, I think just like all the other army posts, it's fucking haunted as fuck. Now, this next one, I've told this story, well, a couple years back, and I was it's at Fort Benning, Georgia. All right, so I am 17 years old. I am in basic training AIT. I am just about to turn 18. And this is like the day before we're going to start BRM, which is basic rifle marksmanship. And I was going to turn 18 in that during that week we're there. So I'm like maybe four or five days away from my 18th birthday. And we were coming from another training area that normally they come and get you in the cattle car or a bus and they drive you around it. That didn't happen this time. There's no transportation. And then we were like maybe 9 miles away from the range. So we're road marching in, which infantry does, and we road march. So it's around 6 o'clock. We're all sweaty. You know, I've been walking for about an hour, hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. And they direct us off to the left. And this, it was probably a old gravel parking lot that hadn't been used in a long time because there was grass and stuff there. And they had set up the Mermites for dinner. We go through the line. We get our fucking gut rot, whatever the bullshit is. We eat our dinner, throw the stuff away. And by this time, it's dark. So immediately, we're doing night watch. Everyone gets in their fart sacks. You know, apparently, my watch is 11 o'clock. It's like 8:30, 8:15. So I go to bed. I go to sleep. I get kicked in the middle of the night. Hey, it's your watch, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay. Now, I'm not like a lot of other individuals who stay in their sleeping bag because I didn't want to risk falling asleep and then getting the shit smoked out of me in the morning. So I usually get out of the bag, stand up, and walk around. It's the least you can do. And I heard the clanking of metal, the murmuring of voices. All right. Now, my platoon is literally, I can see everyone sleeping, right? I know where everyone is, all right? And I'm hearing this sound from the woods to my right, and it's really freaking me out. I mean, the hair on the back of my neck is standing up. I'm getting goose pimples. And the thing that really really fucked with me, plain as day, I heard a horse. All right. It was snorting, whinnying a little bit. You know, I could hear the hooves clicking. I could not see anything. And it was dark, but it wasn't that dark. It wasn't like, you know, well digger, you know, up your ass dark. There was still maybe a quarter of a moon, so, and there's really nothing there. You know, there's a field over here and there's some trees back here and the road is to my back, you know. And I'm like, okay, well, 12 o'clock, I wake up the guy I'm supposed to wake up. I tell him good luck, put in earplugs, and went to sleep. And next morning we get up, do PT. Chow comes, we clean up, we pack up, and we're going to finish walking to the range. Now, by the time we start moving, it's about 9:30 in the morning. The sun is up. And through the trees, you can see an old cemetery. Yeah. That was fucked up. All right, so I've told you the Fort Benning, Custer Main Hall. Okay. This one happened at Alpena Air Force Base. This did not happen to me. It happened to an individual who I know quite well. And I was there the same time he was, but I was staying in a different building. And we were going to It was a Air Force Army crossover class, and they were basically giving us classes on palletizing equipment and prioritizing packing. And, you know, it's basically a very low level load master class, you know. So, well, apparently we get there, we do their first day on Friday, everything's fine. We go to the BAQ barracks to sleep. I'm in my room doing my thing. I go to bed, I wake up in the morning, and my buddy's like, "Hey man, quit fucking with me." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "You know, you fucking pounded on my goddamn door. You know, you did it two or three times last night. Would you fucking quit it? I gotta get some sleep." And I'm like, "Bro, I didn't do that. I don't know what you're fucking talking about." He goes, "Yeah, it sounds like something you would do, man. Quit fucking with me." I'm like, "Dude, I'm not doing it, but okay, fine." So now it's Saturday. We do our training, blah, blah, blah. Saturday night, I go back to the BAQ barracks, go to sleep. And apparently, you know, that night, somebody pounded on his door about 11, 1130, gets out of bed, runs, opens the door. Nobody's there. So he pulls out a deck of cards. Moves a chair right by the door, and he's playing solitaire. All right. About 2 hours later, he heard like some wrestling or running in the hallway. He stood up. There were pounding on the door. Boom, boom. And immediately after the second rap, he swings the door open. Ain't fuck all there. Nothing. There's nobody that moves that fucking fast. Like, literally, it's like, boom, door opens. Nothing is there. Next morning, we're eating breakfast. He's like, "Hey, Sergeant Pop, I want to apologize for the other night. Apparently, the building I'm staying in has a ghost problem, and it likes to fuck with me." And I'm like, "Well, thank God. We just got to do that one class today, and we can fucking leave." Because, you know, the class was done at 3 o'clock that afternoon, and we're on the road. I never stayed in those buildings again, nor do I care to. I don't even know if Alpena Air Force Base is even still there. I think they shut it down. I don't know. It's weird. Anyway, I've taken up too much of your time. I got more ghost stories. If you guys like this, let us know in the comments. I'll talk to you later.